Romans chapter 9. I want to start with a question, and I want to, hopefully, we'll see what the Lord has to say in His Word about this. And then at the end of it, about the time we've good and forgot what the question was, I want to ask you the same question again. Have I attained righteousness? So many believers in the past have struggled. There's a lot of believers now that are struggling. And in your life, you will struggle with unbelief. But every time we stop looking to Christ and we look to ourselves, am I doing enough? Am I reading enough? Am I thinking enough? Am I dwelling on these things enough? Anytime I look to I, there will be unrest. You won't have a soothed conscience. But when we look to Him, there's nothing but rest. Nothing but completion. But am I really saved? Have I attained righteousness? Just like the Lord's table, just like I said with baptism, I never want to encourage anyone to do something the Lord hasn't led them to do. And I don't want to restrict anyone that the Lord's given them faith in Christ to do, to obey Him. And just like concerning salvation, I have people expressed to me before, am I saved? I never want to encourage someone that they are saved, and I sure don't want to tell someone that they're not. I just tell them about Christ, the one who can save. But thankfully, our Master, in His perfect wisdom and fullness, He's given us great comfort in these Scriptures. I hope we can see that tonight. Here in verse 30, it says, what shall we say then? How are we going to respond? Respond to what? Throughout this chapter, Romans chapter 9, Paul just gave us the truth that God saved a people in Christ. That God's heavenly kingdom is for the spiritual elect Israel. Not just that physical nation. Not just the physical Israel. That was just a picture for us. He also reminded us of those two Old Testament scriptures he quoted. He gave us two or three witnesses, didn't he? He quoted Isaiah and Hosea, telling us that the children of God were not confined exclusively to that political nation, but they're born of the Spirit in the heart. And that new birth is essential. Why does God have to do everything for a sinner? All of it. We're all like sheep have gone astray. Every person born of Adam is a lost sinner in our flesh. And we're headed, just like Paul told us a couple verses up, like Sodom and Gomorrah. That's our destiny, if you will. That's our where our nature is taking us. But God in His infinite grace and His infinite mercy, He left us a seed. Christ, God in human flesh, came to be born, came to live, and came to die on behalf of His people. And only His spiritual Israel. Only His people. What shall we say then? Paul sums up salvation here in verse 30. Is this me? Is this you? Look here in Romans 9:30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. Now these Gentiles did not follow after righteousness. What's that mean? They didn't receive the law. As a people, they weren't given God's law. They didn't know the law. And because they did not have it, they didn't know about it, or they didn't care to know about it. It was all foolishness to them, like we just read there in 1 Corinthians. They didn't follow the law of God. But they have attained to righteousness. Somebody probably see the heading of this message on Sermon Audio and start rubbing their hands. Oh, I could find something to do. How did they attain this righteousness? Did they reach a little higher? Did they pray harder? No. The Greek word there for attain means to take eagerly and to possess. Every believer, when we're made to see our guiltiness before the God that we offended, We see our sin against God. And we hear the person and the work of Christ. We hear Christ and Him crucified. We eagerly take to Him. We cling to Him. Just like a life raft. I always thought it was funny. On boats, they throw a life preserver out. And they say, grab the preserver. If that's close and they see it, you don't have to tell them nothing. They'll claw your eyes out to get to that flotation device, won't they? But that's what, when we first see Him, we see Christ and Him crucified, and we see our guilt, we cling to Him eagerly. And we're comforted knowing that we possess Him. And these earthen vessels, He abides in us. In our new nature that He gives us. That's not just on the outside. It's also what Paul's saying about these Gentiles. This isn't just lip service, like the scribes and the Pharisees. You can clean up the outside of the cup and look good. This was a heart work. This was that righteousness which is of faith. That righteousness that is revealed from faith to faith. That's eternal life. That's being made accepted by God in Christ. Being made one with our Savior. Turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 verse 16. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." We do not live by our faith. He says, "Why? It's hard. I'm having a hard trial, but I've got my faith. My faith's strong." We live by the faith of Christ. Christ dwelling in us. Our new man that is born of God. From the faith of Christ. The power of God to salvation is revealed in our hearts. In faith given to us. That gift of faith that's given to us. That's where He reveals it. Look over in chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 verse 21. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe." Notice that's quantified, them that believe. "For there is no difference on any of them that believe, the Jew or Greek, educated, uneducated, the rich or poor, before the flood, after the flood, now, 1,000 years from now." That's where our righteousness comes from. Verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." It says in the beginning of that, that righteousness of God's without the law is manifested. That law is our schoolmaster. We remember looking at that before. It points us to Christ. It shows our guilt, our inability. So I can't do that. I can't keep that law. Who can? Christ can. Points us to Him. And declares His righteousness. But He has to make us believe to see that, don't He? The free gift of faith that's given of Christ to our new born-again spirits looks to the righteousness of God alone. Not to our own. Not from that law that we can glean our own righteousness. We declare His righteousness. And all of our rest, all of our peace is given in Him, because He's completed everything necessary for us to be presented faultless before our Heavenly Father. Before that God that we've offended, He said, "Everything required of you to be put in front of Him, I'll do it. I'll take care of it all." And He has. Now back at our text there in Romans 9. These Gentiles in Paul's time, and us Gentiles now, were saved by the sovereign will the sovereign grace and the sovereign power of God. The same as any believer ever has been saved or ever will be saved. Not by our law keeping. Not by us getting better. Not by our nationality. Not by our race. Who is born to. Not even by our faith. But by Christ alone. Verse 30. What shall we say then, that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness? They cling to it. Even the righteousness which is of faith. Because of the salvation of God, Him being just and the justifier, we have the righteousness which is of Christ. We have His righteousness. People try to go out and hash out their own, and they'll tell me I'm confusing justification and sanctification, and it's holiness. Righteousness is the act of the nature. Holiness is the nature. When He was made sin for His people, we were made the righteousness of God. We were made holy by His act, by what He accomplished at Calvary. To be righteous, to act in righteousness, you must have a holy nature. Those that are given faith to believe Christ, they are made His righteousness. Made like Him. Don't I have to do something to earn it? No. He makes you that way. Well, I got to keep it. He gave it to me. He gave me this new car, and I got to keep it shiny and clean. No. Our heritage, our works, anything we can do does not keep us. It doesn't save us. The only one that's able is Christ. Now, if you attempt to justify yourself, if you attempt to redeem yourself, set yourself apart, make yourself holy, it will not be successful. It ain't going to work. Only the one who is just is able to justify you. Only the one who is holy was able to make you holy. Man, with every advantage that we're given in our flesh, like Paul told us at the beginning of this chapter, all those advantages that physical Israel had, all these types and pictures around them constantly, miracles being performed in front of them, they're not able to pick themselves up by their bootstraps and make themselves holy. They can't accomplish anything or perform any act that's reserved to God alone. That's His business. Hawker said one time, he said, it's an act of treason against God's holy high command to speak of any righteousness found in a man. Anything we lay a hand to it, that's robbing God of His glory for making us righteous. But Israel tried, didn't they? This nation of Paul's time, that's why he's writing this. That's what they're swinging an axe at. Nothing's changed. Men and women right now, across this nation, across this world, got to do something. I got to try. I got to keep the law. God saved me. Oh, it was all free grace when He saved me. Now I got to do something. Look here in verse 31, Romans 9:31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, it followed it, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. They don't have righteousness by the law. But the word there, attained, is a different word than the attained we just read. They didn't cling to it. They don't possess it. This word means they did not arrive. Swing and a miss. You went down that road and you didn't get to your destination. Didn't even come close. They never got to righteousness by working under the law. No son of Adam ever has or ever will. You ain't going to arrive at that destination. Verse 32. Why? Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. They didn't believe. The Lord hadn't given them belief in Christ. They didn't seek it by faith. They sought it by working. And they stumbled at that stumbling stone. They stumbled on Christ. As it is written, verse 33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. An offensive rock. And whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Why did physical Israel stumble at Christ? Why do men and women today stumble in the fact that Christ fulfilled the law? They cling to the law and refuse Him. that He's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes on Him. Turn over to Romans chapter 11. Just a page or two for you. Romans 11, verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. They haven't arrived. They haven't got that righteousness. But the election hath obtained it. The ones that Christ chose, they've obtained righteousness. And the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. It's deaf ears. Most gospel messages that physically go into someone's ears falls on deaf ears. People don't want to hear. They either refuse it or they're lukewarm. They're fence straddlers. Well, that's okay. They're indifferent. The Lord hasn't gave them life in their hearts. Make them cling. Make them desperate for Christ. Verse 9, as David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap, and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Their table is a snare. What they consume, the lust of their bellies. Their works, their abilities, their sustaining for certain things. Oh, I can't drink that. I'm holy. Oh, I don't eat that kind of meat. I don't eat those things. I'm holy. It's a trap and a snare. If any of y'all ever trapped anything, snares wrap around the neck of an animal. And the more that animal tries to do something about that snare, the tighter that snare gets. And they keep struggling all the way to death till it chokes them to death. Christ tells His children at His table, take, eat, drink. He said, this is My body for you. That's what you need to feast on. This is My blood for you. But our old nature, we want to feast on our accomplishments, don't we? He saved me, but I did something. Our pride, our righteousness. Not Christ's righteousness. Not His holy actions. A heart that is left alone to its sin and desires refuses the redemption of Christ. It refuses the justification of Christ, and it refuses the sanctification of Christ. Any or all of it. To refuse Him in one part is to refuse Him in all. David wrote in Psalm 118 and said, the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. What were they building? Themselves a righteousness. Themselves a holiness. Themselves a salvation. And those builders building their own. We don't need that. I can do a better job. I can make a squarer corner. That's a chief cornerstone. It's a snare. It's a trap that we willfully fall into. Stumbling on the law and not looking to our Master who fulfilled the law. He fulfilled it. That means it's filled full. He completed it for His people. We read that earlier. He was the propitiation. He was the satisfactory blood sacrifice that's required for me. What's another way to word that? It is finished. Ain't no work to be done. Can't rest if there's still work to be done. You might sit still, but you ain't resting on the inside. You're worried about what you got to do tomorrow. I'm back at our text here in Romans 9. Our old man wants to cling to any bit of working that we can get a hold of. Even accepting Christ. That's been made real popular since World War II. You accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Look here at verse 33, Romans 9:33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. People say, see there? Whosoever. I mean, it's up to you. Quickly, they'll quote John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We've touched on the whosoever before. But that, what's the word to the right of it? Whosoever believeth. Whosoever believeth. How do we believe? We believe by faith, from faith. From faith to faith. Lord gives us faith to believe Him. Those elect in Christ before the womb, they're given life. They're quickened, made alive with a new spirit. And that new man will not be ashamed. But because we're made to believe God, that's why we won't be ashamed. It's who we believe. And you can't choose to believe or stop believing. anything. I can act like a person that doesn't love my family. I can look like a person that doesn't love my family. But let one of them get hurt real bad. And I said, well, the police said you can't go down there. Hide and watch me. I'll knock them out of my way, won't I? Why? I love them. Just like believe. We can't choose to believe. But thanks be to God, those that He gives life to, those that believe on Him, we can't stop believing on Him. Ever. We may look like people that don't. We may act like people that don't. But we can't stop believing on Him. Our petitions that God will call out His sheep and make them know Christ will be answered, because that's the Father's will, that He should lose none of them. And I pray often, as He enables me, for people in this area. One of His children would hear this message and be turned from that table that they've set for themselves, their own works, and that they'll come and buy without money, without price. And they'll stop feasting on their own glory and feast on Christ's deserved and accomplished glory. If you do, you won't be ashamed, because Christ is able to keep you forever. You won't come up lacking. But not all do that, do they? Somebody's going to be made ashamed. Those that may be ashamed, those that don't heed the rebuke, those that don't heed the admonitions given, the word preached constantly, those that leave the gospel for another gospel. And as Paul said, it's not another gospel. Do we cast them out? Do we know for sure? We looked at this Sunday evening. Do we know for sure, since they've turned from Christ who makes you holy to making themselves holy, making themselves righteous, are they gone forever? That they've committed that sin unto death? Do we stop praying for them? Now remember, our translators gave us these chapter divisions. That makes it easy for us to turn there quick, don't it? But always read a little before and a little after. Look here in chapter 10, verse 1. Romans 10:1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. We do not know if a person that goes out from us is an apostate, unless they live that way all the way to death. So we pray for them, just as Paul prayed for his fellow Jews, his kinsmen. Same way we pray for our family members, that they've never been taught the gospel in their hearts. Lord, save them. If they're yours, save them. If they are the Lord's, that they are saved from themselves and look only to Christ. Look only to our Master for all things. That's what's required, isn't it? Look to Him for everything. Through the preaching of the gospel, we're taught some things. He teaches His children. We're taught that we're just filthy rags. I can't do nothing to make myself righteous anyway. The inside of this cup's dirty. We're taught that God's holy. That's who He is. He's just. He's right. He doesn't do what's right. What He does is right. He's God. And we're taught what God accomplished for His people in that person and the work of Christ Jesus. What's done, what's accomplished, what's finished. He did it all. Those that's turned from a gospel of free and sovereign grace, those that have turned from the finished work of Christ to doing something else or doing something more, adding to it. And those that have not yet been brought to know Christ. Those like those Gentiles who just didn't know the law, didn't care to know it. We have a strong desire that they may still be the Lord's sheep and be brought back to His feet. Look here in verse 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Those Jews are working hard. They got all kinds of religion, but they don't have knowledge. They can quote a whole bunch of scripture to you. They don't know what it means. They don't have knowledge. Turn over to Psalm 14 real quick. Psalm 14. Each blood-bought child of God will be taught of God, and they will repent. They'll turn from themselves to Christ. Without saving faith, we still think all of our thoughts are right. If the Lord hadn't done a work in us, we think everything we're doing is just perfect. We still think our works aren't that bad. And all the while, we're just mocking God, and we're mocking those children that He died for if He leaves us alone. Look here in Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, "No, God." They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not even one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they are bred and call not upon the Lord? They were they in great fear, His people. And God in this generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor because the Lord is His refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of His people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. If the Lord gives us knowledge, that we should be in great fear. He shows us that we've offended Him, and He shows us who He is, there's going to be a fear. First time you see that, if all you see is your sin, buddy, you're going to be scared to death. We look then to His righteousness and not our own. He then is our only refuge. What safety do I have? What hope do I have? Him and Him alone. And we look for the day of His return. Those that know Him, those that believe, those that have Christ dwelling in Him, Lord, haste the day. Take me home. Being brought home for eternity to be with our Redeemer. And we'll rejoice, just like Jacob, and we'll be glad. Ain't nothing better. Back in our text, in Romans 10, verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Going about to make our own righteousness is a dangerous thing. And it's not attainable. You ain't going to reach it. That ain't going to happen. Our Master said in Matthew 5, He said, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now on the outside, those men, you couldn't find a chink in their armor. Many of them walked just as perfect as they could. They wasn't no gambling, and they didn't step on any graves, and they didn't plant their pole beans and their corn together. They were sticklers for those things. You have to exceed that. That means not just the outside of the cup, but the inside of the cup. Jeremiah said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch." Righteousness is going to come to that house. That branch of David. "And the king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice on the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel, that spiritual Israel, shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness." Go get your own righteousness. You're taking the Lord's name. That's his name, the Lord our righteousness. If the Lord is our righteousness, does that mean we're dead to the law and live unto God? Look here in verse 4, Romans 10, 4. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone at all." Everyone ever? No. Everyone that believeth. Those that He comes to. Those that He saved before time. Those Jacobs. He causes us to believe. Breathes life into us. Is Christ your only hope? Is His righteousness the only righteousness that you want? Is His righteousness the only righteousness that you need? Do you believe Him? If you do, rest. Stop working. If you believe Him. Those that He's made to believe. Turn over to Hebrews 4 and we'll close. Hebrews chapter 4. There, verse 9. Hebrews 4, 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, to His people. For He hath, He that is entered into His rest, not our own rest, into the Lord's rest, He also hath ceased from His own works, as God did from His. When the Lord created this earth, after it was all done, it said He rested. On the seventh day He rested, because the work was done. If we believe God and we say, all my righteousness is complete, all my justification, all my redemption, all my sanctification, everything's done. It's finished. Rest. Let it be over. There. But verse 11, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. How can we labor to enter rest? Anytime a thought comes to our minds, oh, I ought to be doing something. Have I done enough? Diligently seek Christ our rest. Stop looking to ourselves. I need to stop looking to me, wondering if I've done enough, if I've prayed enough, if I've read enough, and look to Him. Labor to look to Him. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Do I believe and rest in Christ's person and work? Or am I looking to my own works and everything else in unbelief? So in the beginning, I ask you, I'll ask you again, have I attained righteousness? Am I still trying to arrive? Am I still working through the law trying to get there? Or do I cling to Christ, my righteousness? And do I possess Him? If you cling and possess Christ, cling to Him, you've already arrived. You're there. You're with Him now. And you're made one with Him. I pray that His people won't look to themselves and look to Him and see that everything that's required is done. And then you can rest. Boy, it's awful easy to love when you ain't got no work to do, isn't it? Me and the kids didn't play a board game this evening because I had work to do. Tomorrow, we'll play a board game. Just be merry and love, can't we? The work's done. Amen. Let's pray together.